This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we continue in a series called God's Amazing Promises. In these lessons, you'll learn about some of the most significant promises that God has made to you. And these promises aren't empty. They're the key to renewed life, peace of mind, and hope for the future. Before we get started, we want to let you know that a very generous couple has pledged a $100,000 matching grant to Daily Hope. That means that all this month, every dollar donated to this ministry will be matched up to $100,000. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part four of a message called God's Promises to You When You're Afraid of Failing.
So I've given you four things you need to remember to lower the fear of failure in your life. Now let's look at what to do, okay? Number five, the fifth thing in these eight things to do, number five is refuse to compare myself to others. Now the Bible has a lot to say about this because this is the root of the fear of failure. When we're comparing ourselves to other people, we always get in trouble. Now, in today's world, we have made comparing an indoor sport. And we compare everything. And the number one cause of comparison today is social media. Because you look online, well, they just had a beautiful meal. I better have a beautiful meal. And they just bought some new clothes. I better buy some new clothes. And, you know, they're showing their so-called perfect life, which is a total lie. But everybody's trying to top each other in social media. And my dog's cuter than your dog. And parents are now trying to compete through their kids. And they get their own self-worth out of competing through their kids. Like, have you gone to a soccer game recently? I mean, you'd think it's the World Cup. Their dad's on the sideline having heart attacks, screaming at their children. It's just a game. They're supposed to be having fun, not beating their brains out and, you know, kill that sucker. And, you know, I go, really? That competitive spirit comes from comparison. Now, the Bible warns over and over again that you are unique. And you should never compare yourself to anybody else because there's nobody like you. You could compare submarines and tangerines because they sound alike, but they're totally different. And you are as different from somebody else as a submarine and a tangerine. You're totally, when you get to heaven, God isn't going to say, why weren't you more like somebody else? God made you to be you. So you refuse to compare yourself to other people. Every time you do that, the fear of failure, what happens when you compare yourself to others? One of two things happens. One, you find somebody who's doing a better job than you, or making more money than you, or is prettier than you, or whatever, and then you get discouraged. Or two, you find somebody you're doing a better job than, and you get full of pride. Either way, you're dead in the water. So God says, don't do it. You don't compare your lawns, don't compare your kids, don't compare your spouse, don't compare your house. Don't. The Bible says it's dumb. Let me show you what Scripture says. God made you unique, Galatians 6:4. You should judge your own actions. In other words, it's okay to evaluate yourself. By yourself, but never compare yourself with others. Then you can be proud for doing your best. In other words, without comparing yourself to anybody else. So he said it's legitimate. There's a legitimate kind of pride when you go, you know what? I did my best. Maybe somebody did it better. Doesn't matter. I did my best. You can be proud of that. That's a legitimate kind of pride. So you judge your own actions, but you never, never, never compare yourself to anybody else. You just got to stop this. When you do start comparing yourself, would you agree that fear can make your imagination run wild? Have you ever had this happen? Yeah, you have. You're just not thinking about it. But I remember one time years ago, I was in my early 30s, and the great preacher Billy Graham held a conference in Amsterdam in which he handpicked 13,000 world leaders to come to this conference. and he invited me to speak at it. I'm going to speak after Billy Graham. And I'm barely out of my 20s. And it scared me spitless. I was scared, and my mind started playing games with me, and I got in a cold sweat, and I started imagining how people might compare me to Billy Graham. And I'm going, what if I get up and I tell a joke, and it doesn't translate in all these different languages, and it just bombs? Or what if people start falling asleep on me? What if they start walking out on me? What if they start booing me in their own language? I don't even know if that's possible. But I was just hyperventilating until I remembered a Bible verse. It's the next verse on your outline. And it's this, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. We don't dare to compare. We don't dare to compare or classify ourselves as some do. For when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are unwise, acting foolish. Do you realize that anytime you compare your job to somebody else's job, you're acting foolish? Anytime you compare your kids or your appearance or your salary or your talent to somebody else, you're acting foolish. Fools do that. God says, don't compare yourself. You're incomparable. You're unique. I made you to be you. I don't want you to be them. So stop comparing yourself. That will lower the fear of failure in your life. Number six, redefine the meaning of failure. If you want to get rid of the fear of failure, give it a new meaning. Redefine failure for your life. Not for everybody else's life, but for your life. Think of failure in a new way. Now, here's how I want you to think of failure. Failure is not missing a goal that you set. Failure is not missing a goal. Failure is not having a goal. You're not going to make all the goals you have in life, but at least you're trying, and that's a success. Failure is not missing a goal. Failure is not having a goal. If you don't have a goal for your life, you are failing in that area. Because you're just coasting through life. You're just letting life happen to you. You have no goal. Failure is not being unable to do something. Failure is being unwilling to try. You do your best, you try. And if you're trying and you're doing your best, you're doing it in faith and love, then you're a success. I think it was Lowell who said, it's not failure, but low aim that is the crime. My dad used to always say, son, always aim for the moon, even if you hit the fence post.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
Thanks for being with us for today's broadcast. A generous couple has stepped forward with a $100,000 matching grant that will double any gift you give up to $100,000 to help reach more people with the hope of Christ. When you give a financial gift to this ministry, we'll send you the all-new 2020 Daily Hope Prayer Journal to say thanks. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. This special offer ends December 31st, so get your copy now when you give today at PastorRick.com or by calling 800-600-5004. And remember, your gift will be matched up to $100,000, so contact us right away. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. And thank you for your generous support.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith means I'm going to try. I'm going to set a goal and I'm going to go after it. Faith requires taking that risk. If you're doing something in faith, then you're already a success because it's pleasing to God. Whether you reach your goal or not, whether you meet the challenge or not, whether you hit the pinnacle peak or not, is irrelevant. You're doing it in faith, that is pleasing to God. And if what you're attempting is for the glory of God, then you can't be considered a failure no matter what happens. Life is a marathon. The Bible says in Matthew 9:26, 6, according to your faith it will be done unto you. So if you have faith, then you're going to move forward, and God's going to say, according to your faith, you get to choose how much I bless your life. But this life is a marathon. It's not a 50-yard dash. And in a marathon, only one person wins. There might be 20,000 people running. People do not run a marathon to get first place, because only one person is going to get first place. They run a marathon to finish. Just say, I did it. I did it. Life is not a 50-yard dash. You're not going to be number one in most things in life. Neither am I. There's not going to be number one. There aren't enough things to be number one in. But what really matters is, did you finish the race? Or did you cop out and quit too soon and coast the latter part of your life? Or did you run hard and fast for Jesus Christ to the day he took you home? That's the question. The question is not, will you be number one? The question is, do you finish the race God put you in? And you can't run anybody else's race either. I want you to hear another story of a family that took risks, stepping out in faith to banish the fear of failure. Would you give a warm welcome to Valerie?
Fear is something I'm all too familiar with from early on in my life, from fear of rejection, provision, direction, facing my past pains, to not having control over life's unexpected events. At the same time, pushing past my fears with the help of God has been an amazingly terrifying, frustrating, gloriously wonderful journey. Being a young mom at 16 years old, I was filled with fears for the future, especially with what I was being told by those around me. Much of the statistics of teen moms did not look good for me or my daughter. All of it sounding like a pretty hopeless future. I was introduced to Saddleback Church at 19 years old when I was sitting in the passenger seat of my husband's car driving down Portola Parkway and looking up just in time to see the street sign that said Purpose Drive. My mind quickly went to the book, Purpose Driven Life, and I turned to see the Saddleback Church signs. I was ecstatic, and I thought of the line from Purpose Driven Life that had impacted my own life greatly, that went something like, there may be illegitimate parents, but there's no such thing as an illegitimate child. That line gave me hope for the future for my daughter. So immediately, my husband and I attended our first service. We sat as far back as we possibly could for a false sense of security of not being noticed. As we listened to the sermon, it was amazing. And then Pastor Rick said it. He said the line from Purpose Driven Life that meant so much to me. So from then, we started to attend. A couple years go by, and we were regularly attending as a family, and then Saddleback finally sent a member to every nation in the world. I remember that day, watching the video reel on the big screens here at the Lake Forest campus. I remember sitting in my chair in awe of the amazing things our church was doing around the world. Then it hit me like a ton of bricks. What was I doing here, just sitting in this church that does all these amazing things around the world for the glory of God? I wanted to be a part of making a difference here, there, everywhere. I prayed the prayer that Pastor Rick said was the most dangerous prayer to pray. Lord, use me. I honestly did not take Pastor Rick's warning seriously, and of course, he was right. By that time, I was in my early 20s with 2 kids. I wanted them to grow up thinking of others and not themselves, so we jumped in and volunteered. Then my family and I felt led to serve globally. We weren't quite sure what it would look like and considered serving long-term as a family in Rwanda. Our family stepped outside of our comfort zone and sacrificed many things during that time. I'm a complete control freak, so the thought of facing the unknown with no line-by-line, minute-by-minute itinerary was scary to me. We knew God was moving, but it was awful not having the whole picture of where, when, or how. So we as a family did what we knew and moved forward. Things started to get even scarier as we stepped out of our comfort zone. To prep us and the kids for a big trip like that, We served on peace trips to Mexico and then the Navajo Reservation. God was confirming with each trip that we went on that we were meant to serve. Each trip brought different fears for us and the kids. We had no idea at the time that we would also be ridiculed by much of my husband's family. My husband even received a very hurtful email from his dad disapproving of all the work we were doing and the goal of the long-term service in Africa. As we continued to pursue God and our service in him, we finally went as a family and served in Rwanda as our own peace team for a short-term 3-week trip. It was amazing. It was uncomfortable having to be fast, fluid, and flexible, but it was an amazing experience serving as a family. When we came back from that short trip, it seemed that God had other plans for us that did not include serving long-term over there. It was devastating to us that because we had so much training and we had been working for years, selling our home, quitting jobs, moving the kids to accommodate a goal that we thought we should be going towards. But of course, God's plans are always better than ours. From stepping out in faith onto a path that we couldn't see ahead of, step by step, God held our hands, guiding us to be used in ways that we could never have imagined. We've learned so much along the way, and though things didn't go the way that we expected, we have learned to walk each day open to what God has to hold. If we as a family had decided to let fear hold us back from pursuing where God was leading, we would have never experienced the joy of living out our purpose. Because we stepped out in faith, we now have served as a family for several years on the Navajo Reservation with my husband and I as co-leaders. I've gone out of my way. I've gone out on my own a few times, serving at refugee camps in Greece and the Middle East with our Saddleback Relief Ministry. My husband has been called to become a pastor, which is his own journey in battle with fear. And my daughter, who is now 13, stepped out on her own faith journey and went on a trip to Rwanda with a junior high and high school ministry. If you were to tell me many years ago, when I was pregnant with my daughter as a teenager, that this would be my future, I would have thought you were crazy. Our God is bigger than any fear. And he's shown me that if I trust his leading, he turns those fears into a life filled with so much more than I could imagine. Thank you.
Fantastic. Okay. So you say, how do I get started in taking risks? Well, just find some place to serve. It doesn't matter where it is. Just find some place to serve, volunteer, start trying out, go, is this me, is this not me, and do that. Now, let me give you the last two. I'll give them to you quickly. Just write them down. The seventh step in overcoming the fear of failure is to refocus on God's love for me and others. And both of them are important. I refocus on God's love for me first, how much God loves me, and then I focus on my love for other people. Why? Because love is the antidote to fear.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thanks for joining us for today's lesson. If you'd like to write Rick and let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today, but first, if you want to make your time in prayer the best it can be, then you're going to want to get a copy of the brand new 2020 Daily Hope Prayer Journal. The theme is Growing Your Prayer Life. This vegan leather full-color prayer journal has sections to pray for specific people and situations, as well as space to express your gratitude and personal prayer requests to God. Each page is beautifully designed and filled with inspiring Bible verses, photos, and artwork. The Growing Your Prayer Life Prayer Journal is a spiritual growth tool designed to help you enjoy a vibrant prayer life, connect with the Lord, strengthen your prayer practice, and establish a consistent daily prayer time. When you give a financial gift to this ministry, we'll send you the all-new 2020 Daily Hope Prayer Journal to say thanks. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. By the way, this month only, any gift you give will be matched by a very generous couple up to $100,000. This match is only available until midnight on December 31st, so please contact us today. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you about an exciting new opportunity.
Let's be honest about this time of year. At the end of every year, there are so many ministries that ask for you to support them in the end-of-year giving. And you know what? We believe in every ministry that proclaims the name of Jesus, and we thank God for them. And I know it can be difficult to decide who to give to. So let me just give you some biblical foundations for giving, some simple guidelines for end-of-year giving. You might think of these three or four things. Number one, give to the ministry that God tells you to support. Go to God, pray to Him, ask Him, say, God, who do you want me to support? And you know what? I support you giving to whoever God tells you to give to. And if it's not Daily Hope, I still support you to give to who God tells you to give to. So pray and ask God. Second, never give when you feel pressured. The Bible says in Corinthians that we are to never give under pressure or compulsion or under guilt. So if you ever feel guilty about giving, don't give, because God tells you in the Word not to give at that time. Give because you want to give, not out of guilt or pressure. Number three, give to where you support and believe in the goals of that particular ministry. Now, every ministry has different goals. You know the goals of Daily Hope. Our goal is ultimately to take the good news, the gospel, to the 3,000 tribes left in the world that have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ, no church. This is the final frontier. That's our goal. It's called the Great Commission. Now, other churches and other ministries have other goals, and that's fine. Some only have the goal of just preaching in America. That's nothing wrong with that. But if you believe in and have a heart for going to the last, the least, and the lost, this would be a ministry you should consider supporting, because I don't know others that are doing what we're doing, trying to go to these final 3,000 tribes. And then finally, give where your gift will be multiplied. For instance, at the end of every year, there is a donor to Daily Hope who offers to give a matching grant to apply to any donation that we receive before the end of the year. Now, what this means is that for every dollar you're able to give this month to Daily Hope, it's going to be doubled. That donor will match it. That multiplies your gift, like the little boy who brought his loaves and fishes to Jesus, and Jesus fed the 5,000. If you give $25 to Daily Hope this month, the matching grant will match it at $25. If you're able to give $100, the matching grant will add another $100. That multiplies your gift. I would consider that as a factor in where to give during this month. Now, let me just say this. If you can't help us financially, that's okay. I understand, but I would ask that you pray for us. I'm so grateful for those of you who are a financial supporter of this ministry, that monthly giving month after month. It means so much to me. It means much to God, but it means so much for eternity to those who are hearing the good news for the very first time. You know, I don't take any salary or any income from this ministry. I serve it for free. And so you and I are partners together in reaching people for Christ all around the world. In closing, let me just ask you to continue to pray. Pray for me as I pray for you. And pray that God's word will be taught clearly, with compassion, with clarity, with simplicity in this new year. And that it will not only help you as you listen to these broadcasts, but it will help us reach people for Christ and disciple believers and build churches all around the world, especially in the tribes that have never heard the name of Christ. Thanks for your generosity. Thanks for your prayers. And God bless you.
And remember, all this month when you support Daily Hope, every dollar will be matched up to $100,000 till midnight December 31st. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.